Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
So it turns out that, like, climate activists have decided that actually what we need to do is, and this is an aspect of the Great Reset, is to make sure that there are dangerous predators roaming around in the bushes outside of your house. It's something called rewilding.
Right, I thought you were going to go for, like, the sex offender shuffle then. The climate activists were like, we're desperately...
No, this is worse, actually. Okay. No, they actually want wild animals just roaming around, because that's how nature intended, you see. And if there's one thing we can't have, it's humans putting an end to evil animals that would eat you.
I hate this mindset. Like, nature intends us to die at 30.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Anyway, before we begin, if you want to support us, go to lyrsys.com, sign up, and go and watch our Epochs on the Anglo-Saxons. This is interesting and, I think, pertinent, because there's something about England that makes it different to the rest of the continent, and that's that it's an island. An island without wolves. Or it used to be an island without wolves. Anyway, let's begin with the bison in Kent, Callum. How could this possibly backfire? Why don't we just take these animals that weigh a ton each, and into an ecosphere where the largest thing was about the size of a deer, right? Which it was a deer. And then just reintroduce it into the wild. How could that go wrong, right? This is the Wilder Bleam Project in Canterbury, where it's an experiment, you see, Callum, a social experiment.
It's just a prank, bro.
Yeah, it's just a prank, right? See how well the bison can act as natural ecosystem engineers and restore wildlife.
I am actually imagining Filthy Frank turning up and being the one who's orchestrated this.
Well, I mean, the UK is one of the most nature-depleted countries in the world, you know. Nature-depleted.
Hang on. Like, we literally cultivated this island to be as perfect as possible, as in, we don't even have... rabies on this island. On the continent, they have rabies. In the United States, there's rabies. Yeah. This island, zero rabies.
We used to have zero foreigners too. It was great.
But like, we literally went around and killed every stray dog in a year in the 1800s just to ensure. Yeah. And then ever since, it's been, you know, just bliss in that regard.
It has. And this is one of the things that I've said many times, is that the English view the countryside as an extension of their own back gardens, because it's safe. You can just go for a walk with your kids. Nothing out there. And we know there's nothing out there because we killed it all. But anyway, so, and this is, when you poll the British, this is why they love the countryside, right? They will literally tell you, if you go to the next one, right, 52% of respondents to one poll said that it was the idyllic scenery that was the most appealing thing about this, and peace and quiet. You know what that means? That means no giant lowing buffalo in the countryside, no howling of wolves or lion attacks or anything like that. Peace and quiet. Little old ladies just going for a nice walk in the sunny woods, in the English countryside, not being mauled to death by horrible animals. That was what literally everyone was like, yeah, it's gorgeous out there. It's gorgeous. And so some climate do-gooders were like, yeah, but wolves. That's a good idea, isn't it? Wolves. It's like, what about bison? Wouldn't you just love to be wandering through the woods and then come face to face with a herd of bison? Let's hope they don't chase you down, right? And just to, like, give people an idea of just how unusual it is for there to be dangerous animals in England. In Britain, generally. The last wolf in England died in about 1390.
Good work.
600 years without any predatory animals, or like, you know, predators who could threaten humans. Foxes and badgers.
Threaten your kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing. You can literally send your kids out to the woods here and there's no problem.
Absolutely.
They're not going to be attacked.
Absolutely. And I remember watching some communists on Novara Media who'd written about England. And he was like, well, you know, it's just like, what's special about it? People in other countries go for walks in the woods, don't they? It's like, yeah, I'm sure that Russian mothers are just like, yeah, go on, kids. You know, Saudi Arabian mothers, go on. There's no vipers or scorpions out there. It's fine. It's just a desert. It's just the Russian wilderness. No, it's not the same. Right? It's not the same.
I don't know about you, though, but I've seen countless video on Facebook and YouTube as well of Americans who have gone for a walk.
And been attacked by a mountain lion.
Well, they've either run into a bear or a cougar or something.
Yeah.
And the video is just of them, like, walking backwards while it just walks forwards.
Yeah.
And they've got a gun and they're waiting for it. Yeah. And, you know, thankfully they survive in those videos. But I look at it and think, oh, God, imagine if that happened. And I go, oh, no way, I live here.
Yeah, I don't have to imagine that.
Literally don't care.
Yeah, because unironically, it was the end of the 14th century, a chap called John Harrington killed the last one in Cumbria.
Oh, you should put up a statue to him, honestly.
Yeah, I know. They probably did.
The man who cleansed England.
Yeah, basically that was the last recorded wolf. And shortly after this, people were, you know, they wanted like wolf pelts for something and they just couldn't find any in England. So they had to import them. It's like, good. That's how it should be, right? And just to make it clear, right? Wolves are dangerous creatures, really dangerous creatures. And they've killed many, many people. And there's this one great example from France, about 30 years after the last wolf in England was killed, 1427, right? We're going to go through this story just to show you how dangerous wolves have been in history. Not far away. Not like, you know, it's not like in deepest Siberia, in Paris, right? This is what happened in 1427, right? So there was a story of this one wolf they called Courtard, right? And Courtard means bobtail. And it's because at one point during this wolf's life, it was leading another pack of wolves that entered into Paris attacking people, right? And they had tried to trap it by dropping the portcullis. But for some reason, this wolf had realized, oh, this is a trap. Sprinted out and the portcullis landed on its tail, tearing off the back of its tail. And that's how it got the name Bobtail, right? But apparently they called it the King Wolf, right? This wolf apparently, quote, ruled all central France like a ferocious despotic monarch. The wolf drove 1,000 men in flight before him. The wolf that shut up all Paris in a state of siege for 3 hard years of snow. The wolf that sent King Charles into poltroon hiding behind his castle walls of stone. The wolf that every day devoured a man as a dog might maul his daily ration bone. According to monkish chronicles, right, he first appeared in the summer of 1427, and he was readily distinguished because of his magnificent size and bearing. He was a giant among wolves, they say, right? And this giant wolf kept killing cows. And if he was prevented from killing the cows, he'd kill the herdsman who prevented him from killing the cows. And so, quote, this happened many times that year, and soon the accepted policy of the herdsman was this. Let him have one beef or he will get you. That is, pay the toll to the robber so he may spare your life. This is a wolf, right?
It sounds like Vikings, you know?
It does sound like Vikings, right?
But just, you know, terrorizing the French.
Yes. It carried on this way until an incident with a family called the Dubois. 3 peasants on their way to Paris to sell sheep. You think 3 people on the way to sell sheep? Doesn't mean we'll worry about wolves. No. They were attacked en route. The 3 family members were devoured. John Dubois put up a courageous fight in an effort to save his family, but was outnumbered by the wolves and easily killed. Thenceforth, one and all, they were man-eaters. A fanatical obsession, says the Chronicle. Right? Not only was the big wolf a man-eater, but his leadership was so forceful that the habit spread. And in a few months, the dreadful fact was known that all of the wolves of the Louvre Forest would leave the herd untouched and feed by preference on the flesh of the human guardians. This rewilding is just sounding better and better, isn't it? Right? One historian tells us exactly in the first month of that calamitous winter, 14 people were killed and devoured by the wolves. And in each case, the wolves had refused to eat the beef. The wolves generally attacked by day since the gates of the city were barred and shut at night. Courtard, the big wolf, avoided the walls and towers since men shot crossbows at the walls from atop and sometimes succeeded in bringing one down. But come January, the wolves had become more desperate. Travel had ceased during the winter months, and the scent of food and prey emanated from the city and brought them increasingly close to the gates. In the winter of 1428, the wolves attacked Paris and came into the city and were nearly trapped within. That's how Courtard lost his tail. And so Courtard became more wary of actually going into the city itself, right? But as the snow grew deeper and the food grew scarcer, the wolves grew more hungry and more daring. A single traveller, yes, even a small group of travellers, had no chance of escape if they entered the wolf-infested belts that stretched around Paris. There was a reason that literally, right, going back 30 years before, right, in England, this when the last wolf was killed, it was Sir Edgar Harrington who had put out a bounty on the last wolf, right?
And to after, be sure we kill them.
After it was killed, he said this, and here is our old grey enemy, the last wolf in England, stone dead. Old grey enemy, right? Wolves are not just animals that live in the forest and leave you alone. They will attack you, right? Because, of course, they get hungry. And sometimes food is scarce, right? But anyway, right? So the wolves attack Paris, keep killing travellers, and the summer and autumn of 1428 continue with more of the same. Cattle and travellers on the outskirts picked off continually. During the summer of 1429, civil and foreign wars had taken their toll on France. Hundreds died and were left as food for the wolves. And so the wolves became bolder. So by February, the snow was deep and the wolves were bolder, and they were visible nearly every day from the watchtower, but they kept out of the range of the arrows. They're not stupid, right? They're not stupid creatures. And this, the wolf tracks on the frozen Seine, the river that Paris is built around, shows that they'd spent the night prowling around the city walls seeking entry. Finally, one night, the wolves found an entrance through a 3-foot gap between the frozen river and a protective grill that was above the river, and they passed through the gap under the gate and snuck in and found a band of monks who were just wandering around doing whatever monkey things that they do, and they killed them all. In 20 minutes, they, like, how many? 40 human beings were killed and devoured by this wolf pack, right? Okay. Not a single wolf was killed, right? And so the citizens of Paris are like, right, we are actually under siege from an army of wolves.
The French defeated by wolves. The English killed them all.
No, in their defense, they did win this, right? They laid a trap for the wolves. They opened
up... We may have lost the battle, but we'll win the war.
Every French statement. But they opened up the city. They, like, killed a load of cows and spread the entrails around the city to tempt the wolves in. But the thing is, Courtauld was very suspicious about this, and they did this over and over and over, and eventually, when the wolves are hungry enough and there was just the too tempting a scent in the city, eventually Courtauld and his wolf pack went in, right? And so there's this massive and epic battle in the market of this city of Paris, where literally, like, all the gates slam down and guys on the things are shooting down arrows. But the thing is, there's places for the wolves to hide, so they have to then send in, like, troops and dogs. The wolves kill all the dogs, and they end up fighting and killing a bunch of the troops. Eventually, Courtauld kills, like, this one, like, you know, the captain of the guard, who is engaging him in single combat, apparently, and they kill each other. And it's like, Jesus Christ, right? So that's 3 years of siege by wolves. 300 wolves were killed in this. Like, the king, all of the people around, they literally come around and look, everyone has to see this. 300 dead wolves, right? Like, I'm just saying, right, this is not the first time either that Paris or any other French city has been, like, attacked by wolves. This actually happened really regularly through the Middle Ages. There's another example called the Wolf of Soissons, where, again, the city was just terrorized by this massive wolf. So anyway, right, moving on, it's not the only time either, right? In World War I, the Russians and the Germans actually had to stop fighting, join forces to fight off hordes of wolves. I'm not joking. I'm not joking, right? So according to the New York Times, in 1917 this was, right? Parties of Russian and German scouts met recently and were hotly engaged in a skirmish when a large pack of wolves dashed on the scene and attacked the wounded. Hostilities were at once suspended and the Russians and Germans instinctively attacked the pack, killing about 50 wolves. I mean, how mad is this, right?
The old age old war between humans and wolves.
Yes, and in England, and we had won it.
We'd actually won it, and everyone else is crying about it and dealing with it. We're like, oh, that's a shame.
The Russians and the Germans are trying to fight a massive war, and a massive pack of wolves turns up, and they're like, okay, guys, we'll have to deal with this first, right? And so in the New York Times, they say poison, rifle fire, hand grenades, and even machine guns were successively tried in attempts to eradicate the nuisance, but all to no avail. The wolves, nowhere to be found quite so large and as powerful as in Russia, were desperate in their hunger regardless of the danger. Fresh packs would appear in place of those that were killed by the Russian and German troops. As a last resort, the two adversaries, with the consent of their commanders, entered into negotiations for an armistice and joined forces to overcome the wolf plague. For a short time, there was peace, and in no haphazard fashion was the task of vanquishing the mutual foe undertaken. The wolves were gradually rounded up, and eventually several hundred of them were killed. Like, it's not good to have wolves around.
No, I think you've made that point. very, very well.
If they were literally siege cities and fight armies, I think we can at this point accept the wolves are dangerous and maybe they should actually be removed from where humans live.
And that's why we did it. But it's also something like culturally we should be very proud of. Like, we don't have these problems that the French have had for the rest of their existence.
We don't have them yet. Anyway, so Germany has been reintroducing wolves, doing everything they can, and lo, what a surprise, wolf attacks are spiraling out of control. Who could have predicted this? Who could have predicted this? Apart from a World War I veteran. Like, almost 2,900 animals have been killed or injured in wolf attacks in 2019 alone, right? And so the Farmers Association is like, this is a problem. This is going, like, I hate to tell you this, but like continual wolf attacks is a real problem. And they say this, the tactic of trivializing and minimizing the massive damage is irresponsible. Guess who's doing that? Oh, the environmental groups. Environmental groups? This isn't global warming. This is wolf attacks. Like, it's okay to shoot the wolves.
But don't you know it's their home too?
Well, it never used to be. Wolves disappeared from Germany about 150 years ago before they were sighted again at the turn of the century because they were reintroduced.
Oh, look at that graph. Just if you scroll back up a little bit, yeah. There, John. Yeah, it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yes, it Fantastic. Gets worse, right? And so the Germans actually had to relax the laws about shooting wolves. It was like, oh, you can't shoot wolves. No, now you have to shoot wolves, right? After months of debate, this was last year, I think it was, German lawmakers agreed to a new law that makes it easier for farmers to lethally shoot wolves in order to protect their livestock. The new law permits killing wolves up until the point where there are no more attacks on farm animals in the area, even if it means killing an entire wolf pack. I mean, literally, you might end up having to kill hundreds of them, like they had to in eras gone past. Yeah, exactly, to avoid killing you and your livestock. And they can just, you know, shoot them as much as they want. It also becomes illegal to feed them because, I mean, they're dangerous animals. And also, it's causing the rise of the far right. This is what inspired this segment, this going around, Vice being like, scientists have found a link between wolf attacks and far-right politics.
Hang on, I know what this is going to be, because the far-right in Germany just don't have any electoral politics. It's going to be the AfD, who
yes,
are liberals.
Yes, it's the AfD, yes.
Who are going to be like, hey, by the way, maybe we should shoot the wolves and not
but
have
the AfD who are, yeah, they're not like...
Perfectly liberal.
But then they're not like crazy, right? And
no,
so
very normal.
Yeah, they... as normal as a German can be, but they are right when, yes, we should be shooting wolves when they come and eat our anything. And so, but you can see this, right? Research led by some German in some German university has been like, oh my God, you know, all of these wolf attacks are causing people to vote for right-wing politics. It's like, yeah, because right-wing politics is shoot the wolves. Left-wing politics is flood the countryside with wolves. Why wouldn't you vote right-wing at this point for this? Like, obviously, you know, when people feel like they're in danger, they want security and stability. And
when
so
every left-wing party is like, just live with it.
Yeah,
it's their
exactly.
home too.
It's just their culture, bro.
And the AfD are like, no, we can just shoot them. It's very simple.
don't be a wolf phobe. You know, honestly, you're so wolf phobic.
Oh, God, hang on now. You might need to calm down. Otherwise, connotations are going to be made between other German politics as well. I mean, when you first said about the far right, I actually did think you were talking about the wolf movement in Turkey.
No, I've
like
never heard of it.
The three wolves or whatever it is. I don't know how you do it, but like there's
never heard of it.
Whole other thing. Don't
right,
worry.
Right, okay. No, this is literally, I mean, listen to this. To fight global warming and biodiversity loss, governments around the globe are implementing far-reaching conservation programs, including the restoration of habitats and large-scale reforestation, says, again, one German left-wing professor. And the effects of these actions can generate political backlash. Yeah, when people start getting killed and eaten by wolves, there's going to be a political backlash because you're like, yeah, we introduced those wolves for biodiversity. Don't we have zoos for that?
So the left-wing parties in Germany made it sure that they could import these foreign animals and made it as comfortable and as natural as possible for them, and that has now led to loads of attacks against German citizens and their property, and the AfD has risen as a result.
Yes.
Okay, just make sure I'm describing that accurately.
Although the complexities of human-wildlife conflicts are increasingly recognized, I love this phrasing. Do you remember when George W. Bush was like, I believe the human and fish can coexist?
Yeah, but no, I don't think humans and wolves can.
No, I don't. But that's literally strong energy there. But he's like, the growing success of radical far-right parties in Europe which have an ambivalent or outright negative stance towards conservation is making this a particularly pressing issue. It's like, really, really, just so anyway, they're gaining, you know, multiple percentage points in the polls, basically. And so it's a problem that needs to be wrestled with, because this link between right-wing politics and anti-wolf positions has shown up in other nations, including the United States.
Oh, I love this framing. It's just like, don't
anti-wolf
you know,
positions.
Don't you know the right-wing do well when the left-wing fail?
Well, don't you
yes.
know?
Like, the left-wing are failing the population.
No. They've completely succeeded. They're like, look, we want wolves in every forest. No. And now there are wolves in every forest.
I mean, it's a failure in the sense of, like, failed the people you're governing. Like,
yeah, they don't care about that.
So, but then the right-wing seems to do well whenever we screw over our constituents.
Like, the yes. pro-wolf advocacy lobby here from the Democrats are like, yeah, well, they're the right-wing and they're anti-wolf positions. Yeah, yes. The right-wing should definitely own this. We are against wolves eating people.
And the Green Party are just like, yes, but we love the wolves. They love us too, trust us.
So anyway, and of course, you know, wolves are exploding across Germany. And so it was good news that in 2015, wolves were introduced to Scotland. Sure, this won't go badly. Only something like six of them. Six wolves were released. How long until that's hundreds of wolves?
David Attenborough.
Yep, David Attenborough.
Backing this.
Yep. Yep, he was proud that we were reintroducing wolves to the Highlands. Like, really, they're just going to stay there, are they? Wolves were like, well, I mean, that's where we live, you know. We don't want to go near the humans, where all the food is. That'd be terrible. I'm not going to go down to the lowlands, where it's warm and there's food.
Actually, the idea that Glasgow might get besieged by wolves and the SNP will be trapped in their parliament building, desperately calling
That'd be Edinburgh.
It's in Edinburgh. Yeah. I would enjoy that, that's for sure.
That would be highly amusing. But I don't want, literally, it's not going to be too many years until there are just wolves in England again.
Well.
Thanks to these goddamn do-gooders.
Look, the build the wall narrative is getting better and better for the English.
Yeah, it is. So but also.
One, just build it back up.
Also, I want my gun rights.
Eh?
You know, if I've got to go into a wilderness that's got bison and wolves in it, then I want to be armed.
Hang on, maybe this is like right-wing 5D chess.
Yeah.
We're going to get our guns back. How are we going to do it? Make the wilderness, everywhere in life unlivable anymore.
But the thing is, they even recognize that there is a risk that, you know, these wolves are going to start attacking people. And they're like, well, they must educate local sheep farmers on how to effectively protect their herds and provide compensation schemes until the protection measures are adopted and effectively managed. It's like, or we could have just not introduced wolves.
We've done this thing and it's caused loads of problems. So here's all the measures to fix the problems. It's like, how about you just don't do the thing?
Honestly, I'm with you now, actually. I can't wait until Edinburgh is under siege.
And we all get shotguns to defend ourselves whenever you want to go to the shops.
So anyway, the point is, don't introduce predators into your local environment. Don't know why I have to say it.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast of the Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content we have on the site, such as this premium video, Modernity, the End of Architecture. And if you want to follow what else we're putting out, you can follow us on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase